all of you for joining us this morning in song. We have a number of people out today. A lot of people are without electricity, and Adam was without electricity this morning, but I see he got his hair all combed. But we're glad you were able to do that, Adam. I'm sure with a little assistance from Diane, you were able to accomplish that great task. But anyway, we're glad that you're here this morning. This coming Thursday is what? Anybody know? Valentine's Day. It is. And if you have not bought your loved one a Valentine card, I would suggest you do so. It is important to do that. I heard a man say the other day about his loved one. He said, "I've had a happy marriage for many years because I whisper three little words in my wife's ear twice a week." And his friend said, "Well, what is that?" And he said, "Let's eat out." You know, love is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It really, really is. Love one another, Jesus taught in the book of John, and also John wrote in the book of 1 John chapter 5. There was a young man who said to his father one morning at breakfast, he said, "Dad, I'm going to get married." And the father said, "Well, how do you know you're ready to get married?" He said, "Are you in love?" And he said, "I sure am." And he said, "How do you know that you're in love and that you're ready to get married?" And he said, "Well, last night I was kissing my girlfriend goodnight and her dog bit me on the leg and I didn't even feel the pain till I got home." Well, I'm not real sure that's evidence that you're ready to get married. But you know, love is a great thing. Someone said that love is like a bridge that connects our hearts when we're apart, the rainbow that colors our world when we are together, and the bond that keeps us learning and growing together in Christ. Love one another. Christ said that we are to love. And every day that love should be growing. But the message of love is not always the same. It's not. For people perceive and offer love in different ways. They do. Every one of us. We all do. Have you ever thought about all the songs that have been written about the subject of love? As a matter of fact, more songs have been written about this one subject, that is love, than any other subject in all of the world. Our songbook, if you were to just make a casual perusal through the book, you would find over in the list or at the end of the book where all those songs are listed, there are more songs that are written about love than any other thought. More novels have been written about love. More movies have been made about love, television productions about the subject of love. I was just going through a list of songs about love the other day. "Unchained Melody" by the Righteous Brothers. Y'all remember that song? It has been recorded by more artists than any other song that has ever been written. That's why it is the number one song about love. "Anywhere for You," the Backstreet Boys, "Baby I Love You," Jennifer Lopez, Amy Grant, the song "Beautiful," "Born to Give My Love to You," Martina McBride, "Can't Let Go," Mariah Carey, Elvis Presley's "Can't Help Falling in Love with You," you may remember it, Lionel Richie singing "Endless Love," or the Beatles and "I Love Her," or you may remember the Carpenters, "I Just Fall in Love Again," or the Beach Boys, "Just Once in My Life," John Denver's "Annie Song," Billy Joel, "Just the Way You Are." All of those songs tell us one thing, that people are focused on love. People want to be loved. And Jesus spoke about love more than any subject in all of the Bible. He talked about us loving Him. He talked about us loving one another. What is true love anyway? If you were to analyze true love, people talk about it all the time. But what is true love? What are the qualities of true love? Trust, romance, understanding, excitement, listening, overcoming, valuable. Just about everything in the world could be summed up in true love. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, love, that's Greek to me. Did you realize that in actuality that there are five words in the Greek language for the word, the one word in our vocabulary today, and it is the word love. There is that, what we call eros love, is where we get the word erotic, but it is the word eros, and it simply refers to passionate, romantic love. But then secondly, there is that love that we have for friends and our loved ones. It's called philia. That is where we get the word Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And then there is that word that's called storge, which is the word for the love that parents have for a child and vice versa. And then fourthly, there is that word philema, which actually is a desire for something in this world. And then there is that most familiar word for love that we often think about and hear about. It is the word agape. And that word agape is in biblical literature. It conveys the meaning and the usage that is often illustrated by someone who is willing to sacrifice his life or self-sacrificing, giving love one to another, both friend and enemy. And this is the type of love that God really wants us to have one for another. Now, there are three things today that I want to talk about that I really believe that you need to know about love. There are three things that I need to be reminded of about love as well. First of all, I would tell you that love ought to be our passion in life. We often talk about what we get passionate about. I hear people say, well, he's real passionate about sports, or they're real passionate about politics, or they're real passionate about a lot of things. But our passion ought to be for love. It ought to be our passion. It ought to be our passion when it comes to God. It ought to be our passion when it comes to wedded love. It ought to be our passion when we talk about the church family and how we ought to love one another in the body of Christ. Jesus taught it. He said, hereby shall the world know you're my disciples if you love one another. John 13 and verse 35. It's the new commandment I give unto you. And then we ought to be passionate about our love for our friends. Solomon said, he that would have friends must show himself friendly in life. And so these are the things that we ought to be passionate about. But when we think about passion and we think about love, first of all, I think about our love for God, our love for the Lord. Did you know there are four times in the Bible when God actually says that we are to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? They are found way back in what we call the Pentateuch in the Old Testament, in those first five books of law, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And then Jesus reiterated in Matthew 22 and verse 37, recorded again by the pen of the Gentile Luke, in Luke the 10th chapter and verse 27, and then again by God's servant Mark in the book of Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. Do you realize that God gives everything and He can take everything away from us but one thing? There is one thing that God cannot take away from you but that you have to give up to Him, and that is your love. God can't force you to love Him. God can't take it away from you. He can't. But love is something that you have to give to Him. That's why He asked us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, because He loved us. For in the book of John, the third chapter in verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have life everlasting. It is called one of the great texts of the Bible. Matthew 5, verse 43 through 48. Jesus again said, if you love those who love you, He says, what reward have ye? Are not even the collectors doing that? He says, and if you greet only your brothers, He says, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? Be perfect, he says, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. If you want to be complete and you want to be mature, then develop a love for God that is second to none. In the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul writes and encourages the early church with these words of admonition about love. And he says, and hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he hath given unto us. Now, while verse 8 shows God's love in action, listen to what it says. For God demonstrates his own love for us, for while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. If you're reading the King James, it says, God commendeth his love toward us. And while we were sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. But probably one of the most profound and beautiful text on the subject of love is penned by the Apostle John, whom the Bible says was the one who loved Jesus and one whom Jesus loved. In John the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new command I give unto you, that you love one another. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament there were a lot of thou shalt nots, don't do this, don't do that. But in the New Testament it is filled with positive commands, and many of those commands were based and built on the subject of love. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you love one another. Do you realize that your belief does not make you a better person? Now, I've heard a lot of people argue that and say, well, you know, I believe this and this makes me a better person. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Your beliefs do not make you a better person, but your behavior makes you a better person. And that is why Christ said that we are to love one another. To love one another. And it is often the missing ingredient in our homes. It is often the missing ingredient in the church. It is often the missing ingredient among relationships, and that's why they fall apart. It is true. And the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and really even on beyond that, John writes, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone, he says, who loves has been born of God and knows God. And whosoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you knew God, you would love him. And if you're not loving today, I'm telling you what, you are not of God. That's what he said. Now, I'm just bearing the message, folks. That's what Christ said. It's what John, who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, said. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 through 12 says, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin, the one who was willing to die. And beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also love one another. For no man hath seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Let's go on to verse 13 and following. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son into the world, who is the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. For God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. But my question this morning for all of us that are here is, does God dwell in you? Does he? 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 and 18. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, he says, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. We must remember, folks, that there is no fear in love. None. Now let me read the last few verses here. 1 John 4, verse 19 through 21. We love him, powerful verse, we love him because he first loved us. And if a man says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Good question, isn't it? If you say that you love God, but you have hatred toward your brother, how can you say you love God? You haven't even seen God. But you say that you love him, and yet you look upon your brother that you have seen, and you have hatred or you have contempt in your heart. How can it possibly be? God said it can't be. You cannot love God that you have not seen and hate your brother whom you have seen. That's what John says. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God loves his brother also. Have you ever thought about it? How do you measure the love of God? People say, well, you know, I measure the love of God by all of his wonderful blessings, and we generally do that. We say that we measure the love of God by his great gifts unto us. He gives blessings unto us every day. But how do we measure our love for God? Well, very simple. We measure our love to God, and God measures our love by how we treat our brother and our sister in Christ. If you do not treat your brother and your sister with respect and love, then how in the name of heaven do you believe that God can approve what you do in life? You cannot. You won't meet with the approval of God. You won't. Not going to happen. I know a lot of people who say, oh, well, you just don't know what you're talking about. I believe that God's going to love me anyway. He'll love you all right, but he won't approve of what you do. So love must be our passion. But secondly, love must be our priority. What is your priority in life? Jesus taught that loving God is the first commandment. If you were to go through the Bible and you were to pick out all those commandments of God, what would you say would be the most important? Do you realize a lot of us would say, well, I believe that believing in Jesus or being baptized for the remission of sins is foremost. I would think that probably is the most important. That's not what Christ said. That's not to negate the fact that baptism is essential unto salvation, and that's highly important. But Christ said that the first commandment, and Paul went on to write, even say to the church in Ephesus and also to Timothy, that the first commandment with promise is to love. Love must be our priority. To love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he says there is a second one that is much like it. Here it is. That you love your neighbor as yourself. Now that's what he says. To love your neighbor as yourself. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 5 and following, the Bible says, and whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that beget, loveth him also, that is begotten of him. And by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, he says, are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, he says, even the victory of our faith. Notice what he says. Who is he that overcometh the world? He says, but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Another question, are you keeping the commands of God? Not just part of them, but all of them. Are you keeping the commandments of God? Now, if you don't know them, I suggest that you open the Bible and start reading them. Are you doing what God has asked you to do? In Revelation 22 and verse 14, the Bible says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. So love should be our passion, but it ought to be our priority. But then thirdly, loving God and loving others should be our purpose. Sometimes, we talked about in Bible class this morning here in the auditorium, about everything having a purpose. Sometimes people never find their purpose in life. What is your purpose? Do you think God just put you here to have a good time? No, that's not what life is all about. It's not. He didn't put you here to grab all the gusto you wanted, however you choose to do that. He put you here to glorify Him. That's why the Bible says that we're to glorify God in the body. You are bought with a price. And our purpose here is to glorify God and honor Him in everything that we do. And each step should lead us closer to our goal. Now, that'll happen if we stay motivated. Motivation is a big word. But we all have to stay motivated. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something, folks, and I mean this sincerely. Not that I don't love you, and I appreciate you, and I appreciate what you do to encourage me and all that, but I don't depend upon other people to motivate me. I am motivated by my love for God. Now, that's not to say that we don't need strength and that we need encouragement from one another. I'm not talking about that. But if no one encouraged me, I'm telling you this morning that I am motivated to honor my God in heaven because of my love for Him and because of His love for me. Now, the reason I said all that is the fact that there are a lot of people in the world that say, well, you just have to keep me motivated. Keep me motivated and I'll love God. Keep me motivated and I'll serve the Lord. Motivation comes from within. And drive comes from within. We don't have to be motivated by externals when we are internally focused on what we ought to be focused on. Every relationship and goal, whether it's home or family or health or fitness or spirituality or personal growth or your career, financial, physical, whatever it happens to be, or your spirituality should revolve around one thing, and that is Almighty God. It is God. Let me ask you a question. What is your goal in life? What is your goal? What is your driving goal in life? I've heard people talk about their aspirations and their dreams and their goals. Man was talking with a young man one time, and he said, son, he said, what is your goal in life? And he says, well, to get out of high school. He said, and then what? And he says, well, go to college and go on to college and get my degree. And he said, and then what? And he said, well, he said, I want to get a good job where I can make a good living. He said, and then what? And he said, then to get married. And he said, then what? And he said, then to have children. And he said, then what? And he says, well, to have a happy home. And he said, then what? And he says, well, I'd like to be productive in life. And he said, then what? And he said, well, I guess I'll just die then. And he said, and then what? You know, we think about a lot of things, but that inevitable thing we call death. And when all is said, and in the finality of time, when we stand before the great God of heaven, the thing that will be most important is whether or not we have loved God and loved one another. I think it's interesting, as Christians, Jesus in the book of Matthew, the 25th chapter, verse 31 through 46, illustrated that it was based on love. He talked about all the nations being gathered before Him. And Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and I was sick and in prison and you came to me. I was naked and you clothed me. And they looked at Jesus with a stone face and said, Jesus, When did we do this for you? And he said, because you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. And he says, because you did, you will go away into eternal life. And to those on the left, Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you didn't respond to my thirst. Quench it. I was naked and you sent me somewhere else to the Salvation Army. But you didn't clothe me. I was in prison and sick. Why, you left me to die. And Jesus looked at them. And they looked at him and said, Lord Jesus, when did we ever neglect you? And Christ said, because you did it not unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment and from the presence of the Lord. That's why Christ taught in the book of Matthew 6 and verse 33 to seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things that are necessary to our lives and daily living will be granted unto us. But when we talk about love, what is the standard for love? What standard do you use? A standard that's produced out in Hollywood? Do you have a standard based upon what someone else thinks about love with whom you're acquainted? Is your standard based upon what you read in books about love? Is your standard based upon the television productions or the movies that emanate from California? Or is your love based upon the Word of God? How do we live to that standard? Well, we do it by allowing the Bible to lead us through the choices that we make in life. Go back and read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 through 8. Love is charitable. Love is kind. Love is not arrogant. Love is not rude. Love takes no record of wrong. Love does not say, I'll get you because you got me. Love does not say, I'll get you if it's the last thing that I do. Love does not say, I will withhold my affection and my love because you withheld it from me. It is because of those bad attitudes that Christ wants to give us a new birth, a new start. And Jesus said that you must be born again. In the book of John, the 3rd chapter, verse 3 through 5, there was a young man who was a Pharisee, by the way, and who was on the Sanhedrin ruling council there in Jerusalem, who came to Jesus one night. It was almost beyond our imagination that this Pharisee of Pharisees would come to Jesus at all. But he came by night. A lot of speculation about why he came at night. But he came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, we know that you're a teacher come from God because no man can do the miracles that you have done. And Jesus looked upon him. He said, I say unto you that you must be born again. And he said, don't marvel at this. Don't be so astounded or overwhelmed by what I'm telling you. But he says, you must be born again. You must be given a new birth. Born again. We must be born again. And he told Nicodemus, he said, for unless you are born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Listen to it again. The water and the Spirit. In order to see God. Do you know that God has provided the only way by which we reach heaven? And each person must make that choice. Some of you have made it. Some of you have not. But your hope of heaven is based upon your choice. It is. You either choose Jesus and allow Him to birth you into His kingdom, or you make a choice that will alienate you from Him forever and forever. Those of you that have been born again, maybe your relationship with God has grown stale and cold, and maybe this morning you need to renew. Maybe you need to refresh yourself in God, and maybe you need to refocus your relationship with God. Let me ask you a question again. Is something or someone keeping you from reaching your goal? What's missing in your life? You got on the road with Jesus, but you allowed something to get in the way. Maybe you took it up. Maybe you're holding on to it right now. Some sin that you're holding on to right now that needs to be forgiven. Your life needs to be put back up on track. You hold the key. You hold the empty piece. Well, let me ask you another question. Will you put it in place this morning? If you love God, you will. You will. Now, the question foremost, and with great priority, do I ask this question this morning? Will you love God and give Him the key to your heart right now? It's a choice. And I hope it's a choice that you're willing to make based upon your belief in Jesus to be God's Son and acknowledgement of Him as Savior and Lord, and then by being baptized for the remission of sin. And we stand ready and willing to assist you, and God stands ready and willing to accept a loving heart who comes to Him. You see, God accepts loving hearts, but ironically, those hearts have to be broken hearts. Would you come to Jesus this morning while we stand and sing?